opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Thank you very kindly, my friends. As I listen to Ralph Abernathy and his eloquent and generous introduction, and then thought about myself, I wondered who he was talking about. It's always good to have your closest friend and associate to say something good about you. And Ralph Abernathy is the best friend that I have in the world. I'm delighted to see each of you here tonight in spite of a storm warning. You reveal that you are determined to go on anyhow. Something is happening in Memphis, something is happening in our world. And you know, if I was standing at the beginning of time with the possibility of taking a kind of general and panoramic view of the whole of human history up to now, and the Almighty said to me, Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in? I would take my mental flight by Egypt. And I would watch God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through, or rather across the Red Sea, through the wilderness on toward the Promised Land. And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus. And I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, and Aristophanes assemble around the Parthenon. I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discussed the great and eternal issues of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. gone even to the great heyday of the Roman Empire. And I would see developments around there through various emperors and leaders, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance and get a quick picture of all that the Renaissance did for the cultural and aesthetic life of man, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even go by the way that the man for whom I'm named had his habitat. And I would watch Martin Luther as he tacks his 95 theses on the door at the Church of Wittenberg, but I wouldn't stop there. I would come on up even to 1863 and watch a vacillating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of his nation, come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now, that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land, confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. Masses of people are rising up. And wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free. And another reason that I'm happy to live in this period is that we have been forced to a point where we are going to have to grapple with the problems that men have been trying to grapple with through history, but the demands didn't force them to do it. Survival demands that we grapple with. And for years now have been talking about war and peace, but now no longer can they just talk about it. It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. It's nonviolence or non-existence. That is where we are today. Also in the human rights revolution, if something isn't done and done in a hurry, bring the colored peoples of the world out of their long years of poverty, their long years of burden neglect, the whole world is doomed. just happy that God has allowed me to live in this period to see what is unfolding. And I'm happy that he's allowed me to be in ministry. I can remember when Negroes were just going around, as Ralph has said so often, scratching where they didn't hit and laughing when they were not tickled. But that day is all over. We mean business now, and we are determined to gain our rightful place in God's world. And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaged in any negative protests and in any negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying, that we are God's children. And if we're God's children, we don't have to live like we are forced to live. Now, what does all of this mean in this great period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. Whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now let us maintain unity. Secondly, let us keep the issues where they are. The issue is injustice. The issue is the refusal of Memphis to be fair and honest in its dealings with its public servants who happen to be sanitation workers. Now, we've got to keep attention on that. That's always the problem. With a little violence. You know what happened the other day, and the press dealt only with the window pressure. I read the article. They very seldom got around to mentioning the fact that 1,300 sanitation workers are on strike, and that Memphis is not being fair to them, and that Mayor Loeb is in dire need of a doctor. They didn't get around. We're going to march again, and we've got to march again in order to put the issue where it is supposed to be. Force everybody to see that there 1,300 of God's children here suffering. Sometimes going hungry, going through dark and dreary nights, wondering how this thing is going to come out. That's the issue. We've got to say to the nation, we know how it's coming out. When people get caught up with that which is right, and they are willing to sacrifice for it, there is no stopping point short of victory. We aren't going to let any may stop us. We are masters in our nonviolent movement. In disarming police forces, they don't know what to do. I've seen them so often. I remember in Birmingham, Alabama, when we were in that majestic struggle there, we would move out of the 16th Street Baptist Church day after day. By the hundreds, we would move out. Bill Connor would tell them to send the dogs home. And they did come. We just went before the dogs singing, "Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around." Bill Connor next would say, "Turn the fire hoses on." As I said to you the other night, Bill Connor didn't know history. He knew a kind of physics. Somehow didn't relate to the transphysics that we knew about. And that was the fact that there was a certain kind of fire that no water could put out. We went before the fire hose. We had known water. If we were Baptist or some other denomination, we had been immersed. If we were Methodist and some other, we had been sprinkled, but we knew water. That couldn't stop us. And we just went on before the dogs, and we would look at them and go on before the water hoses, and we would look at it. And we just go on singing, "Over my head, I see freedom in the air." Throwing in the paddy wagons, and sometimes we were stacked in there like sardines in a can. They would throw us in and they did, and we would just go on in the paddy wagon singing, "We shall overcome." And every now and then we get in jail and we see the jailers looking through the windows, being moved by our prayers, being moved by our words and our songs. There was a power there which Bull Connor couldn't adjust to. And so we ended up transforming Bull into a steer, and we won our struggle in Birmingham. Call upon you to be with us when we go out Monday. Now about injunction. We have an injunction and we are going to court tomorrow morning to fight this illegal, unconstitutional injunction. All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country. Maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. but somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights. Did I say we aren't gonna let any dogs or water hoses turn us around? We aren't gonna let any in. We are going on. We need all of you. You know what's beautiful to me? Is to see all of these ministers of the gospel. It's a marvelous picture. Who is it that is supposed to articulate the longings and aspirations of the people more than the preacher? Somehow the preacher will have a kind of fire set up in his bones. And whenever injustice is around, he must tell it. Somehow the preacher must be an Amos. Said when God speaks, who can but prophesy? Again, with Amos, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Somehow the preacher must say with Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He's anointed me to deal with the problems of the poor. And I want to commend the preacher under the leadership of these noble men, James Lawson, one who has been in this struggle for many years. He's been to jail for struggling. He's been kicked out of Vanderbilt University for this struggling, but he's still going on fighting for the rights of his people. Reverend Ralph Baxter, Billy Kyles. I could just go right on down the list. Time will not permit, but I want to thank all of them. And I want you to thank them. Because so often, preachers aren't concerned about anything but themselves. And I'm always happy to see a relevant ministry. It's all right to talk about long white robes over yonder in all of its symbolism. But ultimately, people want some suits and dresses and shoes to wear down here. It's all right to talk about streets flowing with milk and honey. But God has commanded us. Be concerned about the slums down here and his children who can't eat 3 square meals a day. It's all right to talk about the New Jerusalem, but one day, God's preacher will talk about the new New York, the new Atlanta, the new Philadelphia, the new Los Angeles, the new Memphis, Tennessee. This is what we have to do. Now, the other thing we'll have to do is this. Always anchor our external direct action with the power of economic withdrawal. And we are poor people. Individually, we are poor when you compare with white society in America. We are poor. Never stop. Yes. That collectively, that means all of us together. Collectively, we are richer than all the nations in the world, with the exception of nine. You ever think about that? After you leave the United States, go get Russia, Great Britain, West Germany, France, I can name others. The American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That's power right there if we know how to do it. We don't have to argue with anybody. We don't have to curse and go around acting bad with our words. We don't need any bricks and bubbles. We don't need any Molotov cocktails. We just need to go around to these stores and to these massive industries in our country. Say, God sent us by here. To say to you that you're not treating your children right. And we come by here to ask you to make fair treatment where God's children are concerned. Now, if you are not prepared to do that, we do have an agenda that we must follow. And our agenda calls for withdrawing economic support from you. So as a result of this, we're asking you tonight to go out and tell your neighbors not to buy Coca-Cola in them. Go by and tell them not to buy sealed test milk. Tell them not to buy what is all the bread Wonder Bread. And what is all the bread come to Jesse? Tell them not to buy hard bread. Jesse Jackson has said, up to now, only the garbage men have been feeling pain. Now we must kind of redistribute the pain. We are choosing these companies because they haven't been fair in their hiring policies. We are choosing them because they can begin the process of saying they are going to support the needs and the rights of these men who are on strike. Then they can move on town, downtown, and tell Mayor Loeb to do what is right. And not only that, we've got to strengthen black institutions. I call upon you to take your money out of the banks downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We want a bank-in movement in Memphis. Go by the Savings and Loan Association. I'm not asking you something that we don't do ourselves in SBLC. Judge Hooks and others will tell you that we have an account here in the Savings and Loan Association from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. You have six or seven black insurance companies here in the city of Memphis. Take out your insurance there. We want to have an insurance in. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a greater economic base. And at the same time, we are putting pressure where it really hurts. I ask you to follow through here. Now let me say, as I move to my conclusion, that we've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. Nothing would be more tragic than to stop at this point in Memphis. We've got to see it through. We have our march. You need to be there. If it means leaving work, if it means leaving school, be there. Be concerned about your brother. You may not be on track, but either we go up together or we go down together. Let us develop a kind of dangerous unselfishness. One day a man came to Jesus. He wanted to raise some questions about some vital matters of life. Of course, he wanted to trick Jesus. He saw him that he knew a little more than Jesus knew and throw him off base. Now that question could have easily ended up in a philosophical and theological debate. But Jesus immediately pulled that question from midair and placed it on the dangerous curve between Jerusalem and Jericho. And he talked about a certain man who fell among thieves. You remember that a Levite, the priest passed by on the other side, they didn't stop to help him. Finally, a man of another race came by. He got down from his feet, decided not to be compassionate by proxy. But he got down with him, administered first aid, and helped the man in need. Jesus ended up saying this was the good man, this was the great man, because he had the capacity to project the eye into the power and to be concerned about his stuff. Now, you know, we use our imagination a great deal to try to determine why the priest and the Levite didn't. They were busy going to a church meeting, an ecclesiastical gathering, and they had to get on down to Jerusalem so they wouldn't be late for their meeting. At other times, we would speculate that there was a religious law that one who was engaged in religious ceremonial was not to touch a human body 24 hours before the ceremony. And every now and then we begin to wonder whether maybe they were not going down to Jerusalem, down to Jericho rather, to organize a Jericho Road Improvement Association. That's a possibility. Maybe they felt that it was better to deal with the problem from the causal root rather than to get bogged down with an individual effect. But I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me. It's possible that those men were afraid. You see, the Jericho Road is a dangerous road. I remember when Mrs. King and I were first in Jerusalem. We rented a car and drove from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Right. I can see why Jesus used this as the setting for his parable. It's a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive for ambushing. You start out in Jerusalem, which is about 1,200 miles, or rather 1,200 feet above sea level. And by the time you get down to Jericho, 15 or 20 minutes later, you're about 2,200 feet below sea level. That's a dangerous road. In the days of Jesus, it came to be known as the Bloody Pass. You know, it's possible that the priests and the Levites looked over that man on the ground and wondered if the robbers were still around. Or it's possible that they felt that the man on the ground was merely faking. And he was acting like he had been robbed and hurt in order to seize them over there, lure them there for quick and easy seize. And so the first question that the priest asked, the first question that the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But then the Good Samaritan came by. And he reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? That's the question before you tonight. Not if I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to my job? Not if I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to all of the hours that I usually spend in my office every day and every week as a pastor? The question is not if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? The question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's the question. Let us rise up tonight with a greater readiness. Let us stand with a greater determination. Let us move on in these powerful days, these days of challenge, to make America what it ought to be. We have an opportunity to make America a better nation. And I want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written. While sitting there autographing books, a demented black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was, "You Martin Luther King?" And I was looking down writing and I said, "Yes." The next minute I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon. That blade had gone through and the x-rays revealed that the tip of the blade was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery. And once that's punctured, you're drowned in your own blood. That's the end of you. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in the wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in, and from all over the states and the world, kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I will never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams said. I received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. But there was another letter that came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains. to that letter, and I'll never forget it. It said simply, dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School. She said, while it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, that I too am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960. And students all over the South started sitting in at lunchtime. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream, taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962 when Negroes in Albany, Georgia decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had seen, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. Black people, Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation and brought into being the civil rights field. If I had seen, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had. If I had seen, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama, to see the great movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze. And they were telling me, now it doesn't matter now. Really doesn't matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, we are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure that all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully. And we've had the plane protected and guarded all night. And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out, or what would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people,
All right, everyone. Wanted to play Dr. King's last speech and the significance of it. Always want to give true respect and adoration where is deserved. And I would say that it's okay to die when you fight for life, because prosperity will surely come. And what Dr. King had given his energy to, the fruits that he had harvested from the feeding of the roots that he gave, is a true banquet of prosperity. And I think that is very important in today's world, that we look at the sacrifices by choice. Look at the obligations and the responsibilities that have been taken forth at the compromising of self. For us to always remember that it's not about us individually, but it's really about us collectively. Collectively, what are we creating? Collectively, what are we nurturing? And more importantly, collectively, what are we building? And at what sacrifice are we willing to meet that end goal of true sovereignty, self-determination, through the gift and harmony that was given to us to sustain our existence? Dr. King and many others exemplified that. That image, that commitment, that opportunity was shown to us all to emulate it, not for ourselves. Because if we don't, had we not, what will happen to them? And what would happen to them becomes the question, because it's really a commitment to ourselves that we would honor and cherish and appreciate what was given to us, not because we deserved it, because we have the opportunity to replicate it, to duplicate it, pass it forward, and to invest it for the sustainable prosperity of those that we have yet not named. And I truly want to say to you all, there are many opportunities that are going to come for us to be great. There will be many opportunities for us to have the overall act of furtherance. And there will be a time when we'll be able to build and memorialize something greater than our names, because our overall commitment will ensure that our names are passed on in harmony and in peace and in prosperity. That opportunity to be great happens through service. happens through giving, happens through sacrifice, and more importantly, it happens through the abundance that we take that was given to us, that we give more, that we create and establish a paradigm that more can be achieved. That should be, and it can be, all of our causes. That, and it should be, where we're going. Not because of anger, not because of pain, but in spite of all of that, we refuse to become what we had to endure because we're stronger. We're more capable to build so much more because it's worth it. And Dr. King and many others had a great commitment in spite of their human shortcomings, in spite of their schooling. They pressed forward, even to the point to deny themselves. In the greatest sacrifice, they denied their families. For people they didn't know, for names they never heard of, and the spirits that they never met. But it was worth it. It was worth to give up what could be individually gained and to get off of the horse to help the one that was in need. Because if you don't, what will happen to them? And what happens to them happens to me. It happens to you. And the system always wants to keep us distracted from that truth. And it always wants us to derail ourselves. And to, when the tracks are severed, for us to go in the direction of destruction from the speed and momentum that has already been laid out, because we walk away from the truth and allow a new identity of disaster to be established for us. And this becomes a wreck that brings about pain, scars, injury, trauma, that extends and takes the place of the prosperity that should have been there in its rightful birthplace. We have great opportunities as this world continues to evolve. How is it going to evolve around you? How is it going to coexist within your universal standing? How is it going to birth a nation from your seed? We are right where we all asked to be. Right here, right now, for what's going on, so that we can serve. So that we can serve the solutions that bring about real prosperity going forward. Because of you. It's because of us getting off of the horse. That can never, ever be killed. That can only surrender its existence. So, getting ready to go to a commercial break. I wanted to do the first hour as a reel to memorialize our great opportunity that we have to serve. So anytime, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. We're going to jump back into the show, but I wanted to first hour, let you know and show you how great you are and how capable you are. So it's now time for us to build. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Love the new commercial there, my brother Scotty. And very, 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 very nice. And hey, love Dave, it, love
let me,
it.
Let me say something about that, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Okay, so I'm actually also contracting with another sister through Fiverr to do a video presentation as a spokesperson for Black Talk Media Project. But that's a different sister there. And so after I contracted with her and she made the promo, the next thing I know, she didn't join. She didn't got a subscription to BTR Community, man. I was like, wow.
Man, I don't know if you saw the comment that L.A. Ramon had put in there, Scotty. Did you see Ramon's comment inside of the chat?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. So he wanted you to send it to him. Okay, great. So, hey, before we get going, I want to, Scotty, hold on real quickly. Before we get going, we're going to get back into the show. And I'm going to tell you, it's always it's difficult for me to after hearing Dr. King's April the 3rd speech, I would definitely suggest you go back and listen to it and listen to take out the true meaning of the message that's trying to be conveyed and how that resonates with your spirit, because there will be multiple messages that you will see from there. And so very, very essential to all living beings. So I just want to say thank you to the ancestors. Thank you to the great creator, because it's so beautiful to be in the midst of the power of sustainability. So, and I want to just say this real quick. Scotty's there. I want to say, Scotty, congratulations. If you would just tell everyone that's listening now about what I think is, to me, it makes everything worth it. And I don't, you know, I know for Scotty how important it is to him because of how it came. Scotty was told about how a specific organization feels about Black Talk Radio Network. And I want Scotty just to share that with you all before we get going in the show, because that's the reason why we do what we do. It's the reason why you listen. This is the reason why the programmers come on and bring you the shows as best that they possibly can, and why Scotty does the best job that he possibly can and is more than sufficient. So, Scotty, would you tell the listeners what recently happened?
Yeah, so one of our media partners, we partner with the NYC, it's the Hip Hop Film Festival in NYC with Sister Shy Boogie, and I think this year was their second year, or this year will be their third year, and we helped sponsor that film festival in New York City. It's a major film festival, too, and we help her promote it and everything, so y'all probably seen it come across our various social media pages. But she shared an article with me that was published on January the 11th, which was what, just 3 days ago, 4 days ago. And the article was published on the Black Detour. Yeah, the blackdetour.com. And the title of the article is 11 Black Podcasts That Are a Must Listen in 2018. And I'll just read the opening excerpt, and then our entry. It says, media landscape has seen major changes in the last 5 years with the emergence of Black hosted and curated podcasts. Many of these new voices have become vital to sharing experiences and discussing topics ranging from politics, race, relationships, pop culture, beauty, fashion, and entertainment. However, with the advancement of technology allowing anyone with a mic and a computer to start a podcast, the market has been drastically oversaturated with content that has made it difficult to find quality podcasts. Subsequently, as more Black podcasts are created, we wanted to spotlight some of those podcasts you might have never heard of. Listed below are 11 Black-hosted podcasts that are a must-listen in 2018. And coming in at number one is Black Talk Radio Network. And this is what they wrote. Black Talk Radio Network is one of the only Black-owned, independent news talk radio networks focusing on various topics from news, politics, Black empowerment, financial literacy, and more. Black Talk Radio Network has been a voice for the Black community for 9 years. And they go on to list the other 10 podcasts.
Scotty, VW said, very nice. Congrats, Scotty. And I just want to say to everyone, all of you, the listeners, thank you for making this effort of everyone worthwhile and important and relevant. And we all hope that we have had a positive impact on all of your lives, so that today, tomorrow, and forever will be just that much better because of our collective relationships with each other. And I just want to thank you, Scotty, for creating and giving us the opportunity, giving me the opportunity, giving our listeners an opportunity to hear all of the great programming from Black Talk Radio Network and engaging with individuals that listen. I mean, my overall relationships with some of the listeners have gone from being a relationship of someone, of a caller or someone that happens to listen to a show, to a friendship, to a reliance, to a position of a personal relationship that is tied by the so-called family bonds, and only can be done when we come together. And that's so important, and that's what this network does. It synchronizes those that resonate together for a purpose, and that purpose is each other.
And Dave, so, if I may add to that, that I like the fact that they did not single out one or two podcasts on the network, but they said the whole network. Because this has truly, from the beginning, been a collective. It first started with just me when I got banned from Blog Talk Radio for a week, even though they cut it down to 3 days because it was unjust what they did to me and right. What have you, trying to take away my voice. And I was like, this ain't happening no more. I'm starting my own network. And then I said, you know what? I can't start no network. Well, I'm going to make it about what Black Talk Radio on Blog Talk was about, because I noticed back in 2007 that all the black radio hosts was in competition with each other. You know, they played it like, hey,
right,
I'm better than you, and I got more listeners than you, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, we going about this all wrong. We should all working together on one channel and producing, you know, podcasts on, you know, different shows on different days. And so we did that. And so then when it got banned for that week, that's when I said, you know what? I know this ain't that hard to figure out. Let me rely on some of my computer skills that I learned and let me find out what's the technology behind their platform. And so to the best of my ability, with very limited resources, I started it with $2,000 of my own money to do the research, you know, the research and development, trying out different equipment, found out nobody knew how to do it without using a telephone like Blog Talk Radio. And so I actually figured it out through research and development. I actually copyrighted the technique of using mixers and stuff like that and how you wire it to a PC. And then once I did that, then Gus came along, the context of white supremacy. He didn't got kicked off of Blog Talk Radio. I was like, you know, you got a home here. Now, I ain't never used a Mac, but I'm sure we can figure it out. And we figured it out. And so then he was the second program, joined in 2008 is when we launched the network. And now it has grown to various podcasters as well as various internet radio stations, all working off of one platform. And I have to give, you know, you just played the clip of Martin Luther King, and this is what I say to people. And like you said, David, these are human beings. They are flawed. They have flaws. They make mistakes. And we ain't always going to be in 100% agreement with everything that everybody say or do.
Right.
But the fact is, they was doing what they knew to do, what was in their power to do. Whether any, they didn't ask nobody else for their permission to do anything. They did what was put upon their heart and conscience to do. But Malcolm X is the one that led me really into media, is because I watched a video of him talking about how the U.S. news media can make the public love who they want and hate who they want, and that they can use that same power to educate white people not to be racist and then educate black people on how to do something for themselves. Unfortunately, the news media is still playing that same old trifling game. And so it was Malcolm X who really motivated me and making me understand the power of media, which led me to create the Black Talk Media Project, which led to Black Talk Radio Network, which led to BTR community, which led to other independent platforms that are our clients, and hopefully will lead to us being able to establish media centers so we can teach this technology to the young people and curate voices and create digital stations right there in the community. Because something somebody told me, said it made sense to me. He said, you know why the black church gets a lot of support? It's because they have a physical location. And it's because people see that building and they can go into that building and engage in whatever they're engaging in. Then when they see that, they will give their energy to it, you know? And so while we have been blessed over our 9 years that we've had a small core of donors that have allowed us to survive, I'm just hoping going forward that I can finally start working on the vision, because we lost black radio stations, terrestrial radio stations, and I hope that we can fulfill our vision to replace those stations in those communities. And I just want to thank everyone for being a part. And those other black podcasters that's listed, I hope they come join Black Talk Radio and let us help them distribute their voices and content.
Exactly, because with that being done, then we become collectively stronger. And like Scotty, I'm just so happy for the whole network, and I'm happy for our listeners, and I'm happy that it is something that is the cross-pollination of how we resonate as people is actually getting traction. That's so important. So big ups to you all. Thank you so much. So I want to jump in to the rest of the day, and I just want to say, well said, Scotty. Well said. And this is why this is one of the reasons why my relationship with you is so critical to me, because I've always knew that about you from the very first time that when Cece had introduced us on the phone. I picked that up right away, and that's what I sincerely cherish about you and all of our listeners and all of the other programs that are brought to us all by Black Talk Radio Network. So we are definitely fortunate to have this network, and we're going to keep it, and it's going to continue to grow and fulfill its overall full potential of what it will be doing and what it's capable of going forward. So with that being said, we're going to jump into today's show. Today is January the 15th, 2018. Today's topic, Waiting to Get There, How Right Dr. King Was and Still Is. And I said that because in Dr. King's last, he said, I may not get there with you. Meaning that Dr. King has realized that he's already been there now. And meaning been there, and it was very important because he was willing to sacrifice for the overall good of others. That's where, that was the mountaintop. You can't get any higher than that. That's what was the pinnacle. And he said that he may not get there with you. And many have thought that to be other things. But I think that he was saying that I've been there because of all of mine and all of the temptations that has been put before me and everything else. I didn't compromise on continuing to move forward to serve for others. And once you do that, when you get to the pinnacle and you know that That has been such a threat to the system that the system no longer wants you to be physically around to show the power in what you do, because then others will emulate it. That's the mountaintop. But we as the people will get there. And I think that some of the things that, and this is this overall, what Scotty talked about from the acknowledgement of Black Talk Radio Network. I know we got a caller in queue. I'm going to get to you in 1 second. It exemplifies that overall journey to the promised land. Because so many of us are no longer going to be, as the system has domesticated us to be, all about me, what about me? And we're going to get into the promised land of what about them? What about him? What about her? What about us? That's a promised land that the overall striving goals of greed can never find a place to rest, to feed, or to flourish, or to take root. It dies on the vine. So, very, very important. We got a caller in queue. I want to go to the caller, then I want to jump into what's in the news, and then get into one of the topics for today. Well, the topic for today, if we're going to be able to get there. So, want to definitely go to the caller that we have in queue. Welcome, caller. We got a out of ATL. Welcome, caller out of ATL. Wait. This might be Jada. Welcome, caller out of ATL. You're on Tando Radio Show.
Hey, Brother Day. Yeah, can you hear me?
Wait a minute. What's up, sister? How are you?
Fine. I mean, the show was just so awesome. You know, we listen all the time. I don't get to call in often, but that was really on point because I heard the prophecy in there, and I was like, whoa, I'm standing there at the sink, you know, preparing dinner, whatever. So long story short, yes, it's just so awesome just to hear what Dr. Martin Luther King is discussing, and I see what you're talking about concerning, I was like, man, he's speaking prophetically. I said, okay.
Yes.
Meaning that speaking what the great creator had put in his heart and it actually manifesting years later and people being able to see it, not even just now, but even years from now. And I was just standing at the sink, and I said, wow. And then when Brother Scotty was really reading, I really just called in to tell Brother Scotty and just the radio station and everyone in whose voice is just so powerful, and all the people who call in, like Brother Roz and Brother Thomas, and I listen to them every day, and I'm like, wow, they just sound so awesome. And, you know, and sometimes I'll call in, and the line will be so full, and you know, just the information that they pump out. I just sit there with pen and paper, and I said, let me just chill out and let me just, you know, grab a pen and paper. It was funny because Brother Thomas was talking about some graphite or some type of, and I wrote it down, and I'm like, I got to look this thing up. So it's just really interesting how everybody has something to say, but it's always something
graphene
new, you know. Graphene, that's it. Graphene. And I was like, wow, okay. I said, okay, I never heard of that either. So, yeah, I miss you guys. So, it's been a while, but...
Man, Jada, we totally miss you. And just how... And let me just... I want to just say thank you for you being you. And what you said about Dr. King was so true, and because you do that. And one of the things about what we've been misled about prophecy is that this is just my opinion. The power of prophecy is this, is that everyone has the ability to do it. but very few will do it and then create the manifestation of that prophecy by giving their energy to it, to nourish it into fruition. And many of the individuals that we talk about, that's what they did. And you understand that, Jada, because that's what you do.
Well, it's only if I had the great creator. When he begins to minister, you know, and it's funny, a lot of times, like even this morning when we got up, you know, of course, all the kids were out of school. And I said, okay, kids, you know, the first thing we do is we pray and I'm get on one accord, because as a parent, or just as a person, sometimes we miss things when we get up and just do our own thing. Sometimes we have to just stop and say, okay, just like Brother Davis and his wife, they meditate. And that's something that I really started getting into and meditating and just kind of focused, because that energy is so powerful. It creates a life form that can't be stopped, you know. And, you know, this is something I'm teaching my children also as well, and just kind of getting them in the mindset of, don't let anything stop you. I don't care what it looks like. And when my children sat down and when we went over Black Inventors this morning, they were like, oh my God, I didn't know, Mom. I said, so, and then I asked them a question. I said, do any of the people that teach you look like me? And my children were like, no. I said, doesn't that say something to you? Shouldn't you always ask why? You know, but everybody that is put in front of you doesn't look like you. So it's like you have to get them to think. Thinking is a powerful tool. And when people think for you, you know, that's a form of slavery. So I'm teaching my children that I don't care. Always, I could tell you that the sky is blue, but always do your research. Yes, and even to your own eye, it may look blue, but you know, do your own research. It's so important. Never let anyone tell you anything without you doing some research behind it. So even my daughter will say, well, Ma, we got to research it. And I'm like, that's it right there. Don't let anyone tell you
right.
who, you know. So her teachers don't like it, but I don't really give a flying flip personally. This is how I'm teaching mine. And if they don't like it, that's your problem personally, because you're not going to box my children in and you know, make them drones to their drum or their frequency. And that's really what it is. Tune into the great creator's frequency and you'll always have one up on someone who's trying to keep you back. And that's really the understanding that we should have. So when you put it on, I was like, man, that's on point. I was like, Dr. King is right. We are going to get there. He's right. He may not be able to see it. Even I may not get there, or my children. But eventually, they're going to be like, man, is that what great-great-great-great-great-grandma was talking about? Yeah, this is what great-great-grandma was talking about. She wasn't playing no games. You better just open up your ears and open up your heart to what God, the great creator, is telling you. You're right. We can't just walk blindly. We got to be able to sit quietly and focus on an energy that we didn't produce. You know what I'm saying? And say, okay, great creator, what are you saying today? What are you talking about? And that's what I do. When I actually sit at home, I say, okay, God. You know, sometimes I do call on God. I say, okay, God, you're talking, but I can't hear you. You help me with the volume. And he'll begin to speak. If I sit there, I'll sit there a good while, and he'll say, well, let me tell you, this is what you need to do. And even in your sleep, it was funny, I was sleeping, long story short, and I'm not, you know, it's just that I had
no,
a
you good. On a,
on a, so I had a dream, long story short, that this person was giving me instructions. And then the person says, well, I'll be able to give you instruction. And the person was talking, but nothing was coming out of their mouth. And it was funny, but I heard the great creator's voice, and he said, I muted them so you can get your information from me. And then I said, oh, he said, anything you ask for, I will give it, as long as you ask. And I will give it to you exactly how I need for you to have it, so it can be birthed out the way I need for it to be birthed out. And I said, okay. And that was a few days ago. It was real interesting. And I woke up and I said, okay, God, I hear you. I've been asleep. And we're not supposed to have nightmares and all. That's our energy's off. We got to get refocused, regroup. Great Creator should be talking to us in our dream world. People don't even understand the power of dream. We shouldn't be
the reality.
Come on, talk. And that's, you better say that. People, that is so, because he begins to talk, and then when you wake up, you feel like, I had the strangest dream. It wasn't a dream. It was reality. Because, you know, people don't understand conscious, subconscious, and below conscious, and even how, you know, traumatic experiences can even dictate our failures and the reason why we're not producing the way. But if we meditate and say, okay, Creator, can you deal with, remember when I was a little girl and I got bit by a spider and I have, arachnophobia, can you help me with that area? Because, you know, so he'll begin to help. So we just got to really be in tune with what, you know, like the Davises, and that's why I listen to them every Wednesday. And my husband on his way home, he'd be like, brother and sister Davis on, or, you know, tune in. And I'm like, okay. So I tell my kids, 6 o'clock, and they're like, okay. So the information is just that sweet and so powerful. And even in the mind, you may not even believe it yourself, but if you meditate long enough and it becomes an energy, you'll begin to write it down. And once you write it down, it'll actually take on a life of itself, especially if you look at it every single day. And it'll be as so, you know what I'm saying? Because I have my stuff written up, and I'll look at it. And even you know, not even paying attention, but you're actually just sitting there looking at it. And it goes, and finally, next thing you know, you're operating in it, and you're just like, okay, it really does work. Visualization, it really is a powerful tool. And we need
it really is.
To do that, you know. So I don't mean to...
Oh, wait, no, Jada, hold on. We got to get ready. No, Jada, you're perfect. I love resonating with you because a dialogue is more important than a monologue. Listen, Jada, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come out of the commercial break, we'll come back to you. Then we got another caller in queue, and we will go to my man, I believe that's Thomas in the NYC. I see you, Thomas, on the board. So we'll go to you. But, Jada, I want to come right back to you. Listen, everyone, you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. Hit **. We'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely go to you. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And, you know, the title of today's show is Waiting to Get There, How Dr. King Waiting to Get There, How Right Dr. King Was and Still Is. I had to kind of think of that from memory. I was like, wait a minute. And Jada's actually talking to that very, very point, and it's so, so true. And she was talking about meditation and how listening to Wise Wednesdays and just, you know, resonating with everyone here that call in and participate in the show and just the whole platform. It's so, so true. It really grounds you into getting to where you truly, truly can be. And it gets you, and I think it attaches you to a truth that is sustaining, that will sustain your existence in a more joyful, peaceful, prosperous way. And so, but I want to go to Jada real quickly. Then we're going to go to my man Thomas out of NYC. You know, Jada, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes.
And you know, thank you for sharing as always. But you know, some of the things that you said that was critical was the importance of your meditation, the importance of your personal relationship, the importance of your connection with everything around you. And there needs to be a quiet space. And I don't know if y'all, I mean, you heard it, but I just want to emphasize something. Jada chose from the power that was given to her as a gift, Jada chose to cut out the noise. And the muting was, in my opinion, was Jada using the power that was given to her to mute the unnecessary, to get back into a more sustainable and a more substance, essential substance. And this is why, you know, with me, there are certain times where I have to have quiet. And it doesn't matter how loud my surroundings are, I can disconnect myself from the surroundings and go into a different, completely dimension. And that's what so the superpowers that we have. And now you're able to create and shape time and space. And so I'm so glad that you shared that, sister.
I appreciate that, Brother Dave. And a lot of things, we act like we're powerless. And that's the crazy part about our everyday. But when we get up as beings that God created in His image, the funny thing is He's given us ability to move in space and time where we never normally would be able to. It's like you really have to understand what He's saying about you as a person, as people around you. Like you said, you can talk to a situation, or a lot of people don't pay attention to their surroundings. They just don't. And anytime the great creator has used me and said, hey, stop what you're doing, I want you to go speak to that person. And the reason why I do it is because at that particular point in time, there is a positive energy and a negative energy, and the negative energy may have had a hold on that individual. And I will say, are you okay? And the person will just look. And I'll say, let me pray for you. And I'll pray for them, and the situation will be taken care of, because at that particular point of time, I was sensitive enough to say, hey, there's something off, and there's something that is about to happen that doesn't need to. So I need to tune into your frequency, great creator, so we can deal with that so no one else gets hurt. And because it takes one time, sometimes you got to see something before it happens. And that's what happens with me. I'll go I'll walk somewhere and I'll hear, no, make a right. Or that right.
Right.
And then.
Or slow down.
Or slow down. Or, you know, don't go to that place, go to this particular place. Or even
yes.
They'll tell you to go someplace and, you know, say, great creator, I need your energy in this place because there's so much demonic activity. People are, you know, they're so frivolous about their everyday, and this is what I teach my children. Don't be so quick. Slow down. Look at your surroundings. Pay attention to what's going on. You know, so a lot of people, they are...
Hating our demise.
Yeah, it's just they allow negative things. They allow negative things to overcome them, and then they act on that negative thing. But yeah, I'm not gonna you know, talk you to death, Brother Dave. But
no,
I just wanted to kind of share, you know. just
Jada, this is your home. So, you know, and that's why we do what we do, and it's so important that we share with one another, because sharing actually fosters growth.
It's
energy. Yes, go ahead.
More thing. And for us as people, it is so important when, just like someone will say, oh, I lost a job, or oh, this happened to me. Not really. We don't lose anything. We have to get in the mindset of, I can always gain something greater than what I formerly had. And, you know, so we have to speak to the situation. And I'll tell even my sister, like, she'll say, oh, so I'll say no. Yeah, exactly. I call it speak to the situation. It's just like our New York slang. And I said, girl, you better speak to that thing. And she'll say, what? I said, speak to it. It has to move. And so whenever we, you know, going through something, speak to the situation. Just like I had texted my buddy a few days ago, and she, God bless her, she sent me some information about my asthma. My asthma was acting crazy. And, boy, I had to speak to that thing, because, boy, it just rose up and acted a fool. And I was like, I can't breathe. I was like, what is this? I said, this is crazy. I said, I'm okay.
Bees oil and colloidal silver, Jada.
Okay.
Bees oil. Call us. Call us.
After the show, or?
Yeah. Call us, because my son had real bad asthma until I actually changed some things in thieves oil and colloidal silver is what actually did. And this was years ago. He almost stopped breathing on us from his asthma. So
yeah,
I'll definitely help you out with that. Yes.
I appreciate it, because I said, man, this thing is giving me the blues. And I said, I can barely breathe. And it just, I said, this is, you know, long walks, just shortness of breath. You know, I couldn't even breathe. And my husband had, you know, with me, it has to be dire in order for me to take inhaler. I had to take inhaler, because I just was like, I felt like passing out. I was that short. I said, this is stupid, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway,
we'll help. But yeah, definitely get with us. Get with me.
Okay. I'm gonna let Brother Thomas speak. I love you guys,
okay.
Brother Scotty. I'm really excited, and all I hear, and I do hear something. His territory is about to be enlarged, so just expect it. You opened your mouth. I heard you on the mic, and it was heard, and it is so. So I'm just putting it out there. All right, y'all. Love y'all.
Prophesizing that, creating that reality, creating that eternity. That's our powers. That's really what we, you know, and the system doesn't want us to know that. So big ups to my sister, Jada. Always good to hear. Okay, if you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. My man Thomas, give us a call back real quick, and then I will definitely get you in on whatever it is that you wanted to make your comment or on, or if you had a question. So, and it goes for everyone else. So in the meantime, check this out. And so today's show, and we're going to probably have the part two of this in waiting to get there, how Dr. King how Dr. King was right, how right Dr. King was and still is. So I wanted to do that because then we're going to carry this into tomorrow's show. There was something that happened over the weekend. You probably heard about it, but it was a couple of things. What was in the news today, I'm going to carry it. I'm going to add more to it, carry some over to tomorrow. Check out what we have in Tando Radio shows inside of BTR community. Become a member of BTR community so you could check out that stuff. It's the only place that I post, $24 a year. Now, over the weekend, very, very important, on Saturday, early Saturday morning, Hawaii got a EAS, emergency broadcast system, was activated. And it went over their phones, it went on their TVs, it was, you know, being pumped everywhere. And what happened was that Hawaii got an emergency broadcast telling everyone to seek shelter because there was an inbound ICBM towards Hawaii, and that this is not a drill. And it was roughly around 8 in the morning, 8:40 or so in the morning, 8:30 around that time, and people on the and this is all of Hawaii. This was broadcast everywhere in Hawaii, and people, of course, went berserk. The actual emergency alert that came off on their phones and everything else was this: emergency alert, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And this was on Saturday, January the 13th, roughly early in the morning. After an emergency alert of a ballistic missile threat left people crying and screaming in Hawaii on Saturday, emergency officials confirmed that the message was sent in error and no missile was headed for the island state. However, the mistake drew outrage from local leaders and has prompted a federal investigation. So, how much time we don't have? We're going to come back to this story. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. They've been giving you warnings about where things are going. The emergency alert was sent at 8:07 a.m. and followed up alert said that it was a false alarm. Wasn't sent until 8:46, so roughly 33 minutes where this emergency broadcast was going all over the island. And so it caused major, major problems. Now, one of the things that's important about this is that the message should be loud and clear. And we don't have enough time to get into it. We will get into it tomorrow and some other major things that are happening. Here's what I want to say is that what Dr. King was talking about, the opportunity will be yours. To get off of the horse when you're safe and you're fine, and to serve those that aren't in a as fortunate situation as you are, to where you can have the opportunity to be great by assisting from the seizing the opportunity to make a better existence and a better reality and a better paradigm and a better eternity by choice. And when we start to do that, there is no cross-pollination of evil that could take root. It may go and may become the seeds that go into the ground, but it will not be able to take hold and withdraw from the ground the nutrients that it needs to germinate and grow. Many things that we need examples, but Hawaii, people were running around screaming and scared to death and everything else. But that should have been a great wake-up call for individuals. It doesn't matter if you were prepared or not. When you get that message, it's a, uh-oh, now I got to act. Now that they said it was a false alarm, I say to you in Hawaii, was it really a false alarm? Or was it a precursor to things to come? And I would tell you, no, Hawaii is not just a precursor for you. It's a precursor for many throughout the world, particularly here in the United States, what's commonly referred to as the Corporation of the United States, because they are going to bring this to a reality because they have willed for it to happen. And the only thing that will stop them if there is a greater energy force than their will to create it. And we have to start moving in that direction. We have to make sure that the Jericho Road becomes a safe passage instead of a change in adversity. The levels of adversity changes. Very, very, very important. We'll talk about this more. So I would just say this, if you're in Hawaii or anywhere in the world, particularly in the United States, you need to be prepared for when it does happen, because it's going to happen in different ways. I have my ideas of how they're going to happen, but it is definitely going to happen. And you're going to have to act immediately. And if you saw all of the people, and we'll touch on this, one of the things that you can learn from that is you can see what people were doing. They did the only thing that they could do is now they realize that everything that they were doing before wasn't even really relevant. And this situation, this critical situation, is going to befall many. Are you preparing for that? Once the emergency alert system, you get the EAS sent to your phone, it's only minutes and moments, or it's right now that you have left to respond. It's no more preparing. It's no more preparing. That is not a comfortable feeling, and many people were outraged and pissed off. You shouldn't be at all. Yes, it caused for some anxiety, yeah, but it should show you where you are, either how prepared or how ill-prepared you are.
Hey, Dave.
That wasn't the time for crying. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
I also say it shows how prepared you were spiritually, you know?
Yes.
Because
yes,
I was like, now I was stationed in Hawaii for 3 years, man. I never noticed them having any kind of drills or any kind of practices. And like you said, mm-hmm. You only got a couple of minutes. You ain't got time to make it to no bomb shelter and all that. So like I've said before, I'm prepared to die if need be.
Yep.
I ain't saying
right.
That, you know, yeah, we prepare as much as we possibly can prepare for such things, but also part of that preparation is being prepared to die, because sometimes it just ain't nothing you could do about it, and it's your time
ain't
to go.
Ain't nothing you can do.
And ain't no sense of, like Dr. King said, ain't nothing to fear but fear itself. When you give up that fear of death, I tell you, man, it's nothing that can really affect you.
Yeah, that is so.
You broke up on this,
baby. It's the first thing that you really need to come to grips with, is that live now and live eternally from now, because that's how it's really going to go. Don't surrender your energy to nonsense, because you won't be able to hold on to the nonsense. So very, very important. So, yes, Scotty, that's so true. Are you prepared for making the great transformation? And I would say that you don't have to meet the great transformation screaming and hollering in a state of panic and anxiety driven, because that's your energy that you're disturbing, and that's going to go along with you. Your physical body is not going to go anywhere, is not going to make it, is not eternal. But your spiritualness and your energy and your the energy that you resonate with is eternal. Once energy is created, it can never be extinguished. So it's a lot that we can learn from what happened in Hawaii over the weekend. And it's a lot that the opportunities that we're going to be able to have from that. So, hey, everyone, get ready to get out of here. Just want to say thank you all for listening to the show today. And prepare. Melanated Roots is coming on right after this, I do believe. Great, great, great brothers. Great, great, great show. It all goes in together. So make sure that you are around for that. And stand by for that. And one of the things I always say is never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Brother Braggs, if you would be so kind to chime us out of here, we will, great creator willing, we will be back tomorrow. And let me tell y'all why I have Brother Braggs chime us out. Always want us to leave on a high frequency. Very, very, very important. And there is no other that I know that resonate as a higher a frequency as my brother, Brother Braggs. So, Brother Braggs, if you would be so kind to chime us out, greatly, greatly appreciate you. Thank you, brother.
Peace, peace.
Peace, peace.
Can you hear me, Dan?
Yep. Yes, sir. We got you.
All righty. All right, man. Peace.
Peace, peace.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up.